ain't nothing going to happen. You know, they could shake hands and kiss babies till cows come home. Nobody ever approaches them and talks to them about stuff. You guys need to talk to them. And I know, Jill, you do, but that's, but you're special.
My husband asked, Swarovski, denies
no
having talked to him.
No.
Crazy.
No. So, but Polish Fest came off without a hitch.
Well, and one last thing, Your Honor, I would say this, and where the real problem, and this is, I don't want to get overly political, but where the real problem is the way that the state has been gerrymandered to have, you know, either districts far to the right or far to the left. And back in the day, you would have these very, you know, you'd have a couple, you know, far right, far left districts, but you'd have a lot of middle of the road districts, which forced, you know, both sides to work together and compromise on things. But what's happened is, because they're so far and so far right and so far left, if any Republican moderate like myself or a moderate Democrat try to cross the aisle and work, they get primaried out. Yes. And so they're afraid, and they're not there for the right reason. They're not, they're there to protect their jobs. So that's what's constantly happened for a while, and that's, you know, that's the reality. It's the gerrymandering, because there's just no way that the number should be 65 to 35 in the assembly or whatever.
So here's another interesting fact. The Speaker of the legislature, Robin Voss, Burlington Waterford area. What's on the south side of Burlington? One of the largest limestone quarries in the state. Yet he won his election like 75-25. City of Burlington has a Menard store in it. They're getting sued just like we just settled under the dark store legislation. I guarantee you not a single person in Burlington called Robin Voss and said, you need to fix this. So the problem is universal. But until the good folks of the community do something, I guarantee you, Representative, I'm going to say it, I don't care. Representative Skronsky is going to get this, he's going to look at it, throw it in the wastebasket. So that's my two cents on this. I'm happy to sign the letter. It's not written the way I would, but that's okay. I'll get over it.
Just one point, and Mayor, you can please correct me if I misstated, but I did see an email from quarry operator representatives to and fro the mayor, where the mayor was informed that regardless of what occurs at a state level, the quarry operator will continue to collaborate and work with the city with regard to the quarry operation.
And one last point, and I'll get back. The issue here isn't the regulation of quarries. The issue is the state saying what's done is not done anymore. What's done is now undone. That's the problem. If there's an issue, which I understand there is, up north where communities are being so restricted that there can't be any mining at all, that's why the state decides to step in and be big brother. But instead of just fixing that problem, they hit it with a bazooka and they take out all the rest of us who have already solved the problem. So, you know, it's we know best. We're the smartest in the room. Alderman Little.
Well, the motion on the floor, and that has been second, did not include one thing that the city attorney did address in his letter, and that is, I said to governor and state reps, he added governor, senator, and state reps, so I'd like to include senator, if that's okay with the second motion. And it, I want to be clear that
the
signature...
The motion didn't say it. You said state rep.
Yeah, I missed your line, city attorney, which you had a...
Don't let it happen again.
And then, just clarification, that it would say Mayor Steve Olson and the full city council or some way to address each one of our names.
You guys,
I have been making phone calls.
If you guys can make it a point, I'll do this tomorrow, and I'll leave it with the clerk. You guys can count. I'll come in and sign it.
Sure. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G5 is a fulfillment of a promise to attach... get you guys a copy of the manual that's being used for the ambassador program. Any questions on that?
Motion approved.
Is this?
There's no action.
Wait, I have a couple of things on this one.
There's 200 printed. Yes, your questions are
a lot.
For free.
Well, the first one, I have concerns about the donations by a private person not being very accountable. Now, I'm not calling anyone out specifically because we don't know who the ambassador will be in the future. But I remember, as an example, when we took donations to secure Fitzsimmons Woods, all donations went through the city, and that way they were accounted for. And even in that process, some of the donations kind of got lost. So I would prefer that the city handle and accept the donations so we can have accountability. That also gives persons the ability to get a receipt from the city. And then on the, let's see.
While you're organizing, that is already happening. And
okay.
Receipts for in-kind are going out from me on city letterhead and copies of the court.
It's not how it reads, though. It says that in here, it says the donations would be brought through by the ambassador and through the director of administration. So I want to make it clear that that should not be the process and for accountability. And we don't have any questions about, hey, I made a donation and somebody pocketed it, that kind of thing. And then there also says that there's a sentence in here on page 48 where it says, as a non-elected official, they can interact with staff. And that is something that is actually not currently ready available to even me as an elected official because we don't have staff. So now you're going to have an unelected person directly interacting with staff. And now if you open up that ability so I can have more contact with staff, I might even be more accepting to it, but I'm not really liking that. I think all of those items should go to the Park Commission as a body of the commission, and then if there's any concerns, they should be either directed through the council or some method so everything is recorded. Speaking of recording, email communications, as this person is now a member of a committee, I don't understand how, for open records and accountabilities of all of these email communications, how that's going to be handled. And I guess I think that this motion should be, instead of no action required, it should be for donations to be accepted and recorded by the city finance, and then any program information or changes be updated through the Park Commission and brought to the council on an annual basis, just as we do with the senior program for accountability and such.
Alderman Taylor, then Strober.
Well, I guess when the Alderwoman was talking about the financial side, you know, issue, I could see the look on Mark Liberta's face and Paul Ratzenberger's face. So, I mean, so maybe we can clarify that. But I do agree that they should be handled citywide. You know, and if the mayor is saying that's already done, I guess that should be clarified, number one. Number two, I thought that any changes that would occur would be brought to our attention. Like, it would go through the Parks Commission, and they could approve it, but they have to notify us that that was going to take place. And then, obviously, if we had an issue, we could, you know, overrule it and say, no, that's not what our intent was. So, that's part of what I think the second point was from the Alderwoman. It was about interacting with staff, and I know there are times where, you know, we don't have some staff anymore. So, you know, I don't know if a citizen can trump us and our relationship with staff. So maybe that can be addressed. And then I don't understand the third thing. I guess I don't understand about, you know, what about emails and things, because we have plan commissioners now. We have, you know, any type of commissioner gets emails and invited to, you know, to think of their agendas, the packets. They question staff and emails. I think that's any, when it comes to open records requests, it's anything that's to and from the city. I don't know. I mean, maybe that could be clarified too, but I think that's already in place. I think those things, if we can get these addressed, can be included, or maybe not need to be included. I don't know.
Ms. Hoover.
I believe it's all included. So My intent, and I apologize if I didn't write it clearly, when we said that any donations would be recorded by the program ambassador coordinator, in other words, she's going to document them when they're collected, then bring that to me. We'll report it to you just like you have on your agenda. You'll accept them. If they're checks or some sort of cash thing, they'll go through the treasury. They'll be treated just as everything else does. So by indicating that they would be recorded, it's just indicating that she has to document everything that happens, because she would be the one making the contact with the businesses or individuals to do it. So it's got to start somewhere. It's starting with her. And so that's the intent. They would then be brought to City Hall. We would address them. Then we put them before you for acceptance. So just like the two donations that were recorded. That was my intent when writing this. Do you want to do one by one?
Let's go one by one if we can, so we don't get too far. Can we address that?
Before we leave this one item, here's the complication I have with that. And I have experience with this with the Fitzsimmons Woods thing. I go out and I go knock on doors and I have other people and we're going to be raising money for something. And you got some people who might be raising this money and taking cash donations, and somehow they don't get there. What they should be doing is saying, we are accepting donations for this. If you would like to make a donation, please go to the finance office and write your check. That's how it should be happening. Not some individual collecting donations, because you may trust someone, but the next person can go out and do the same thing. You know, someone could be acting on her behalf. You can't control that. That is not how you financially manage a donation situation like that. It's just way too loose. And I cannot support that. It's just ridiculous to allow us citizens to go around randomly collecting money on behalf of the city and not have it accountable at our finance department. So, sure, you can have somebody out there gathering all these checks up. Yeah. Can you guarantee me that none of it will be cash? Can you guarantee me that every one of them will come in? Can you guarantee nothing will get lost? No, you can't. But if they walk up to the door in the finance department and give them the money, they can get a receipt back right then and there. And then we can track it. And that's how donations are made to the city. So I feel pretty strongly about that. And without, the issue we have right now is this document in front of us, all of this agenda is a public document that's out there online right now. Without a motion stating these things, someone can go back and say, oh, well, here's the intent, all right here, it's all laid out. And it doesn't address, my motion right now doesn't even address how you plan on handling email communications for open records, but it does address the donations, and I think that's a fiscally responsible thing for us to do, and accountability issue. And it does address the issue that Alma Taylor brought about the program information changes, because in here, it's on page 43, and the wording of 48, communication between the program coordinator and the playground ambassador will occur primarily via email and face-to-face. That's the open record issues. And then on the donations, it says any donations would be recorded by the ambassador program coordinator and recorded by the director of administration. That's what this document reads right now, and we need a motion if we're going to clarify that to be a different process. And so I'm going to disagree with the no action is required, because we have a public document that's stating different.
Mr. Liberta.
Relative to the email, I believe that's already been addressed by the fact that the program coordinator was set up with a city email account that is running through the city. She's been, trained that all of her outbound, all email communications with anyone relative to this is to be through that account. If anyone addresses her on her personal email relative to this, then she should respond to them, CCing the city account, that here's your answer, but by the way, you should be responding here. So I believe we have that covered. The reason we're using email is because she has been able to set up sort of daily reporting for the people who are out there. The actual ambassadors at each shift are supposed to provide a report back so that she stays current if anything happens, in case she needs to tell DPW or whatever. And all of that happens by email and then gets recorded and saved. So I believe the email aspect is fully addressed.
Oh, except for the fact that I don't really know how this happens, but there are people that have been on the Plan Commission, and I sat on the Environmental Commission for 8.5 years and never ended up with a city email address and access to the city server. So it's nice to have someone very privileged, but are you going to now take boards and commission members and start creating email addresses for them? I mean, it is a way to address it, but in fairness here, to the people that have served this community, you just bypass the whole current system and process.
With all due respect, I don't believe so at all. We've got a volunteer managing a program for us. Mm-hmm. Every one of you with city email addresses and every employee with city email addresses can use the web-based access, which doesn't VPN, doesn't access the network. It's a 100% safe way to get any of your city emails from anywhere in the world, and anyone that has it. And the reason we set it up for her to give her an email address is for the precise exact reason that you said we should have one, because everything she does has to be a matter of public record, and so we gave her one. Board and commission members, we could give them all separate email addresses and require that they all use just those for any communication, but that would be a very challenging thing to make happen. This was a different level of work than that. Although she is a member of the Park Commission, by the way you created the position, she's a non-voting member, but she's on it. She's also serving as that volunteer and program coordinator, so the level of responsibility was different. So we set up an email address with the title name, so if it ever changes and becomes somebody else, the same email account would remain in place. So each of you can access email the same way she's going to do it. It's no special VPN connection, no security risk. She's just using our web-based email that I use when I, you know, travel on vacation and I want to access my email. I can get it from any computer.
Well, you're missing my point, that we're all elected by the people. And you're a city employee, and all the other people are city employees. But I'm going to let that one drop. I'm pleased that you found a way to address the open records issue. I just think that you could address the open records issue with having her personally send things. But at least now I don't have to amend my motion, and so that's a good thing. And it's been resolved, so that's fine. Did you have any other
questions? If we're going to create a direction for collections, we may want to make sure that none of the volunteers of the Civic Celebrations Commission, for example, are collecting any checks and bringing them in and then recording them, which I think some of them are doing. But I understand your concern, and we haven't done that for any of our groups yet. But I understand your concern, and if that's something we need to do and the council wants to have happen, we will. She can still go out and solicit them, but tell people that she can't actually collect them and bring them in here herself, that they will have to bring them in, be it in kind or cash. I don't have a problem with that.
How would the checks be made out?
Pardon?
How would the checks be made out?
To the city of Franklin.
And there wouldn't be any cash donations?
We can instruct her not to accept any, that people have to do it by check or come in if it's cash. We can provide her a duplicate copy receipt book, and she can issue one there. I can work with our finance director, and if he can't come up with something he believes in adequate cash control, then we can tell her don't accept any cash donations, only checks made out to the city.
Well, regardless, it's not what the language in this is. So if the council, other than the ones that are huffing and puffing right now and being rude while I have the floor, would like to see a more succinct direction on this, then because of the public documents that are already out there, we would have to insert some language. If you don't like my language, I'm perfectly willing to listen to anyone else's ideas up here, but I think we owe it to the residents to have some accountability on the issues.
All in favor.
Okay, so the three issues. One on the email, I think she's doing a different type of work, I believe, compared to other members that serve on the board of commission. And so I can see her having, did solve for a problem. And I don't really think we necessarily have to go on the path of every person on any committee having a City of Franklin email address. I think that actually can cause certain issues because you can send an email and you have a different level of authority than you would say, oh, you work for the government, you know. So I think you want to be careful on how many people actually have access to that. But she is obviously representing a, you know, organization and something that the city owns, the property we own, which is that playground. Regarding, I think, the issue of any changes, I'm pretty clear. Is that we're not right that any changes get brought through the Parks Commission and then we're notified? So is that good in here?
That's I believe, what is happening tonight. So the Park Commission approved this book, and upon them approving it, it was forwarded to you.
Right.
That was the direction that we were given at a previous meeting when it was set up. The only reason this wasn't here a month ago is Parks Commission didn't have a quorum.
And in terms of, I think now that we have an explanation of the reporting that, you know, any donations, we will be go through the treasurer's office, we'll be notified, just like tonight we got $50 for a canine dog. I mean, with $150 tonight or something like that,
yes.
Is that correct? Whatever it is. You have to have some, I think, level of trust in those who represent us. Obviously, we can, you know, always be proven wrong. That has happened, you know, in the past that I can recall once. But like, for example, the Civic Celebrations has operated this way, where you have people like Bob Knackert or John Bergner, who have chaired this committee, who have worked on the fundraising, who are dealing with businesses who are cutting a check to the City of Franklin, and they are collecting it, and they are bringing it here. The minute you walk away from someone's business, which is where we're collecting money, or a homeowner, and saying, now you have to take the step of getting your car and drive to City Hall, you will start limiting the amount of money that is donated to this community, whether it's the 4th of July, St. Martin's Fair, or Ms. Kayla's playground. So I think, you know, anytime a person gives cash, there is always that risk. I think if it's in our manual that says all donations will be, anybody that donates will be given a receipt on the spot. So maybe that should be in there, that she has a little...
Or don't take cash.
Level piece of, you know, paper that they get to keep. I mean, maybe that's a way of solving it. It just should be clear that anybody that's giving money knows that this will be going to the right location, and there will always be a receipt given no matter what type of money. I don't see a lot of cash donations that I can recall. I don't know how many times, and maybe Paul can go back and look, I'm not telling you to do that, but how many times a business is giving cash? They want a receipt because they're donating. So I just don't know what language needs to change in here, but I don't think we have to try to create more work or take away the ability for like St. Martin's St. Martin's Fair and Civic Celebration to continue doing what they've been doing for how many years?